The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, as you guys can see on the WGBB webcam, I have Hassan Godwin sitting next to me.
Hi.
You gotta say hi.
Okay. They can see me.
All right. And I have Charlie Saladino sitting across from us.
How you doing?
And I have Herman Sinertia sitting next to Charlie.
Sorry, my back is towards the camera.
And we have a special guest in the studio. Pardon me, I forget which one is which. You are Caitlin Ross, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Say hi, Caitlin.
Hi, how are you doing?
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on live audio streaming. Also on the GB website, as I mentioned before, we have the in-studio webcam, which is on right now. It's actually taking pictures of us in 10-second intervals. I'm waving. Nobody else cares to wave. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Now, I actually have very little bit of news because we have a special guest in the studio. Actually, we're missing two of the special guests right now.
Yeah, they're at my...
They're at a diner right now.
They're at a diner right now. Is that what happened to them? So, the bit of news I have is that Ozzy Osbourne is a mutant. It has been reported that Ozzy Osbourne had his genes tested, and it shows that his genes have a unique anomaly, and he has the ability to be able to process alcohol and drugs unlike any other person. That's his mutant power, so that's his ability now is Ozzy Osbourne.
What does that mean?
That means that he can drink and drugging and doesn't get affected like us normal humans do.
My uncle is there. Yeah.
At the same power?
I guess.
So Ozzy Osbourne is now a mutant. So was it Patrick
Stewart?
A little
late in his career when they figured that out. He's already cleaned up. So what's that do him now? What good's that do him? His wife would kill him if he started using drugs to start drinking again.
Maybe he is, but his mutant power is absorbing it, so that way they don't know.
Okay.
That silence from the peanut gallery. Pee-wee Herman is on Broadway. For those of you who know me very well, I am a huge Pee-wee Herman fan. I actually went to see the show yesterday, and if you are a Pee-wee Herman fan, it was the best thing ever for a Pee-wee.
I am so happy for you.
Really, he's really excited about it.
I was so excited.
That's good.
When I walked into the place, the doors opened up. The usher opened the doors because the show has already started. So we were just a little bit late, but the doors opened, and it was like the window of Magic Land opened up, and it was all there. The whole characters and cast on stage. It was a very kid moment for me. I was very excited.
When the door opens, does it go?
No, but on the door did talk, and the window talked, just like from the TV show. So he incorporated.
Was Lawrence Fishburne there?
No, they got Phil Lamar to take over for
Phil Lamar,
who does
substitute for Lawrence Fishburne.
Well, he does Mad TV, he does cartoon voices, he's an actor in his own right, and he got to do a Cowboy Curtis, and they incorporate everything from the movie, for anything from the movies, from the TV show, and the original play. Which it came from. So it was very awesome for you Pee-wee fans. You guys should go out there and
Mark
see
Mark asked me to go, but I think I was cleaning out a dustbin or something that day, which was more important than going to see Pee-wee. I'm sorry.
My daughter lit that doll on fire.
That's terrible.
When she was
you sure it was your daughter that lit it on fire?
It was. Were
you doing those satanic right things anyway? Yeah.
That's when he got arrested after we lit him on fire.
So, speaking of Pee-wee.
Mr. Segway. Speaking of Pee-wee.
Thank you. It has been noted that Judd Apatow, the guy behind Superbad and throw me another title, 40-year-old Virgin, thank you very much.
There goes my right.
He is going to be collaborating with Paul Rubens, who is Pee Wee Herman, to make a new Pee Wee Herman video, movie called Pee Wee's Next Big Adventure. So I'm guessing once he's done with the Broadway show and the play runs its course, he's going to go and he's going to be on a movie screens in theaters near you.
Good for you.
Well, it's not for me. It's good for him.
It is good for you.
Well, yeah, it's good for me. So that's it for the news. We're going to get our. I guess the other people are not here yet. Not here yet. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll take an early break for a commercial, and we'll be right back with It Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real. That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Duck back in the alley.
Thank you. And now listen, gentlemen, there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar, what would you do, sir?
Would you take a walk down Lowland Street?
Thank you. We return you now.
This is Brown, your outer space disc jockey, with a request for Earth. That was the Pelican's outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. And the professor is approaching a saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking. But you can't come in.
That was Lapping Lewis's record. Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth.
Oh, wah, bah, loo, ma, blah, bam, boom.
And now, here are the bowl scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go, reeling.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh!
This is Don Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around. We are not going to interrupt this record. Yes, we are. The flying saucer has landed again. Washington, the Secretary of Defense has just said... That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This is John Cameron Cameron Part 2. Gathered around me are several of the spacemen. Tell us, have you come to conquer the world? And now would you repeat that in English?
Don't want the world to have and hold.
Hey, why don't you go back where you came from?
Don't be angry and drive me away.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a news item from Washington. The president has just issued a statement to the spacemen, and we quote...
You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
That was Pa Gherkin's record,
shoes.
We switch you again downtown.
This is John Cameron, Cameron downtown. Professor Cedric of the British Institute, tell us, how were the saucers able to land?
Where do you see
the motor cooled down, the heat went down?
That was Huckleberry's recording, The Motor Cooled Down.
This is John Cameron, Cameron again. I believe the spaceman has a final parting word.
See you later, alligator.
We return you now to our studio.
The spacemen have gone again, but look to the skies. The saucers will always be there.
Always be there.
Goodbye, Earth people.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. Finally, we have the rest of our guests in the studio. We have Rob Longo. Say hi, Rob.
Hello, everyone.
And we also have Sarah Burns. Also.
Hi.
There we go. So today's show is going to be about them, actually. So it's going to be about the Vixens of Virtue / Vixens of Vice. So just take it away. Tell us a little about yourself and tell us about the program.
Sure. It's a live-action superhero series that we do online. We've done 10 episodes for our first season one, and actually season two is now in pre-production.
So what goes on in the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice? Why don't you tell the people what is it about, what's the whole story behind it, and how did it come to be?
Sure. It's really a lot of Brady Bunch and the Batman TV series. You have three sisters who are superheroes and have powers, who battle for control over their city versus their stepsisters who are villains who do not have superpowers.
So what was the thought of making these supervillains not have superpowers this time around?
It's really about when you're given a gift, what you do with it, versus when you're not, you don't have that entitlement and what you do with it.
And how many episodes are on online right now?
10.
So what happens in the 10th episode?
The 10th episode is Battle Royale, and one of the androids of Bitter Evil, the main villain of the show, goes haywire and attacks everyone, and we're left with a big cliffhanger whether anyone died or how hurt they are or what happens next.
So Sarah and Caitlin, how much input do you have on what happens to your characters?
Rob is strictly creative control. We're just there to inhabit the characters that he's created.
You yeah. inhabit it?
Yeah. Pretty faces. Yeah.
Pretty faces and talent.
Of course.
So how does the process work about getting your talent for the characters?
I use this one site, nycasting.com, and I actually hold auditions every so often in New York City at Champion Studio, and they apply for the part, they give a headshot and a resume, and then you invite them to the auditions.
So I guess I will go one girl at a time. Caitlin, what did you think of when you saw the ad for this role, and what did you think of when you actually got the job?
Oh man, I was so hugely excited when I saw the ad for it, because I'm actually a huge comic book nerd and love superheroes and all that. So I was just pumped, and when I heard I got the role, I was also, you know, just pumped for it and just wanted to do like the best job I could. It was really exciting.
Now, what about you, Sarah? You're actually taking over for somebody else in that role, so how is that for you?
Actually really great. I found out at the audition, I realized the person I'm taking over for was actually a college friend of mine. We went to school together for 4 years, and I know her really well and have her blessing. And she had a blast with it and was like, you're going to have a great time working with these people, and she's been right so far.
So, what are you looking for in the characters? What is the embodiment of the superhero and supervillain characters that you're looking for?
With the heroes, it's responsibility of power, you know, and then with the villains, it's overcoming jealousy and not having that entitlement and what they do and how those characters actually arc throughout the seasons.
So I have to say about, when was it? I think it was episode number 3 or 4, the beach episode.
Yes.
So was that initially planned, or did you decide, yeah, let's just go have some a little gratuitous TNA for the fans out there?
So it was a little bit of both. In episode 2, one of the actresses, UA, was on a rooftop scene, that sword fighting scene, and it was literally a sheet of ice. It was freezing cold. It had blizzard that day. Her face, you know, lips went blue and everything. I promised her we would do a warm episode, probably like down the shore or something. And then we decided to spoof off of the volleyball scene in Top Gun and a little Dead or Alive video game.
It's the old warm episode promise, huh, Rob?
It absolutely works every time. Yes. And we'll probably deliver something similar in season two.
So what's going to happen in season two? What's in the works for these characters?
Season two, I look at it as a three-season kind of trilogy. So season two, you're going to see a lot of bad things happen to everyone. It's going to be sort of the Empire Strikes Back of Vixens.
Now you have, as of right now, at least by episode 10, was eight girls altogether, right?
Yes.
Are there going to be any more additions as we go along?
Yes, there might be a new character introduced in season two.
And how?
Thank God.
Oh. And do you have these ideas planned out beforehand, or do you like work it on as you go along?
I always have like a rough idea and an outline of each season, but because it's like a micro budget indie film, I have to be super flexible about the time, the resources I have, and who's available. So things change on the fly.
Speaking of micro budget, you've gone to many a convention.
Yes.
What do you think of the convention crowd? And ladies, what do you guys think? But you both have been at conventions, correct? Okay, so what do you guys think about that?
I love it because I'm a big comic book fan. I grew up with a comic book store one block away from my house, so I was very blessed with that. And it's fun to be on the other side of the table. And I have to say, you know, we're very lucky. We have a pretty good fan base. They're very supportive of us. And it's nice to, you know, touch base with them and see what they want. Like, we have a request for a Halloween episode, and we might make that happen for our fans.
So for a Halloween episode, since the characters are already dressed up in costumes, what kind of costumes do you have them wear?
I don't know. I might take them out of their costume and make it them in their plain day kind of thing while Halloween's going around them. And you would see other people in that universe, that setting, dressed as their characters.
We can dress up as each other.
Or you could dress up as each other, yes.
So, Sarah, what did you think about going to conventions and interacting with the fans and whatnot?
Oh, I love it. I go to cons anyway. I was going to Big Apple Con for years before I got with these guys. So the con, I like the atmosphere. I like the also my boyfriend does special effects makeup, so I'm very involved with that kind of environment. In any case, I loved it. It was a great experience. I like meeting people and I like meeting fans. And it was really encouraging to see so many people that were so positive about the show and just can't wait for season two to come out.
What about you, Kayla?
Yeah, I also used to go to conventions before, like Icon at Stony Brook and Comic-Con in NYC. And being at one as Sweet Frost was like amazing. I never realized that how appreciative people are and how into it they really get from the other side. So it was cool to see that.
Now, when you guys go into conventions, you guys dress up in the costumes of the superheroes?
Yeah.
How restrictive are the outfits?
Not so much, actually. Mine's quite comfortable.
Yeah, ditto. They kind of have to be because we move around quite a lot and have to be able to throw punches and build robots and whatnot. So you need some kind of dexterity while you're doing these things. So they're not very restrictive.
So, Rob, who designs the costumes and who makes them?
Originally, it was one of my girlfriends at the time who helped me pick out the costumes, and I've pieced them together through various like clubwear websites, Halloween websites, and one of our directors of photography at the time, his wife was a tailor, so she made some of like the capes and stuff that you see throughout the show.
And what is your favorite episode of all the episodes?
Probably episode 10, because we had all the girls there, so it was a huge cast and crew, and it was just great to see, you know, an idea that I had and execute it and see, like, an actual end of it.
So when you have everybody together, is it more difficult to try to figure out where everybody is, the camera placing, for just making it as a film in and of itself, where each and every single character is when you're having a battle royale scene, or is it more difficult to just have one or two people and try to make it interesting?
It's definitely challenging with having all of them, but because we don't have the money for it, we have some time on our hand in planning, so we storyboarded all the fight scenes out, and I think you'll appreciate this. Since I can't draw, I used action figures and took still pictures of them and storyboarded it out. And that helped a lot, and we got to film the whole episode in one day.
So, you actually was a character on Bitter Evil, if I'm not mistaken, that's you, right? You make the robots.
Right.
And you are Bitter Sweet Frost,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sorry.
With the ice powers, correct?
Correct.
So, you two really don't get very physical with the roles, or have you gotten physical more when the second season?
The first season was kind of physical. Towards the end, it was more physical. Yeah, we exert some energy.
So what is that like? I mean, have you done any fight scenes of your own, Sarah?
No, not yet. I have yet to be engaged in a fight scene.
No, she's the robot girl.
Yeah, I have the robots do my dirty work.
So, Sarah, you were the one that made the robot in your character, Bitter Evil.
Right.
Kudos on those eyes. The most amazing eyes on that robot.
Only the best for my robots.
There you go. God bless you.
Only top quality materials here.
The robot is very, very effective because it looks like something out of the 30s serials. You know, it's great. And the special effects, it works, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, the robots are pretty popular. They might even get a spin-off. I don't know. They've got their own little sub-fan base going on.
Well, episode 10, I have to say, which totally got me aggravated because it was over, and I'm going, what, hey, come on. It's like the old Batman series, and I got to wait till tomorrow now. What the? But it was very, and I don't know if you probably did this on purpose, but out of all the episodes, because there's all action, this, the final scene where everything was like just pretty much done, very Scorsese about that camera thing going around the whole scene, right? did you plan that? But it was very nice, very artsy.
Even if he didn't plan it, he's going to say, yes, I did.
Yes, you know, I try to emulate great directors, so, you know. Take what's good and make it my own.
Just go with it.
What? How did all this start? How did you come up with all this?
All right, I'm gonna admit a lot of geekery here, but I used to play a game, DC Heroes. It was like a role playing game, like Dungeons and Dragons, and I actually created Sweet Burden way back when I was like, I guess 14 or 13, and Bitter Evil as her nemesis. So I always had those two characters, and I got into filmmaking. And I wanted an idea that I would love to do, that I could do, and that I thought it was its time to be done. And superheroes were on the rise in film. Female power, like Buffy and everything, was very big. So I'm like, let's go with this. And I fleshed out the characters more, added the other sisters, made it more Brady Bunch-like. And here we are today.
Okay, so what made you decide to film it? Because I understand, I know I can conceive coming up with it, but
I can't draw. So, can't do the comic book. I can't animate anything. Can't animate it. So, that leaves live action.
Right. And then to put it on the internet, that was there?
Yeah. Just because we didn't have distribution or a big budget or anything. So, it was more about just telling the story, getting it out there, and seeing what happens from there.
Okay. You write all the episodes yourself?
Yes.
Do you get help with them?
I've let some people write some little bits here and there. Episode 7 was written by Michelle Prezioso.
Oh, okay.
And she also wrote herself a role in it.
And how long do the seasons take, on average, since you've done two already, right? Or you're about to do the second
about
one?
They take about a year. We've tried to film one episode a month.
And how difficult is that to coordinate something like that once a month, to get everybody together and film it and get it all edited and special effects, everything?
It's sometimes very difficult. It is, because you're dealing, you know, with several actresses versus just a handful. You have the crew, you know, and all the logistics behind it. So, but everybody's pretty flexible. I give everybody really a lot of notice when they're going to be on call, and hopefully they'll admit that I'm very flexible with their other schedules.
Well, if you ask them, I'm sure they'll say yes right now.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff, he's available. He's not doing that now.
And he has no shoulders, right, Herman?
He could become the next Bitterbot.
There you go.
Wow.
So who dresses up?
He is Bitterbot now.
Who dresses up in the Bitterbot costume? Was that you?
No. But I was actually one of the ninjas in episode 2. But everybody wants to be the Bitterbot.
On the beach?
No, actually. Yeah, on the rooftop. But Bitterbot was once played by this girl, Nikki, who did some music for us. Magina, who plays Sherlyn, has worn the Bitterbot outfit. Tara Lee, who was Sweetburn, she's worn it. Gene Cahill, who actually worked at the comic book store I grew up with. We've stayed friends, so he's involved in it. He has probably played Bitterbot 2 the most out of everyone.
And also on the on your website, you also have the animated feature. How did that come into play?
The idea itself, I think, plays well whether it's live action or animation or a comic book. So I wanted to try the animation part as like a test and see what the reaction was and how it came out.
It was a little bit like Powerpuff Girls.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
So what do you see yourself doing in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? What is the future for Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice?
Hopefully we come back here and we celebrate it being on a major cable network.
Definitely. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. It was, I was telling the girls before the show that as I was watching it, it was reminiscent of Saturday morning TV in the 70s, with Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
Yes.
And the Cross, so Sid and Marty over there.
And Isis.
And it was just, I'm watching it, I'm saying, oh my God, this has to get on Saturday morning TV. The kids would love it.
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a semi-serious question. Hopefully you don't get offended on this. what was the reason for switching out the models for the new characters?
Because I took a break after season one before we started up season two. So just natural attrition occurs, you know, with people moving on. You know, one of them gave up acting. You know, the other one moved away to Chicago. Sweet Tart, Stephanie Hutton, she moved to Chicago. So it was just the time gap is what killed the consistency in that.
So you think you guys are in it for the long run? Caitlin,
yeah,
Sarah?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Great. I'm not going anywhere either.
But that's good. Hopefully, the longer you have the continuity and consistency, somebody got to pick you up because they got to watch this stuff because it's really good.
Right. Yeah, actually, I got to go. So.
Oh, she
I'm
actually.
Just
gonna
quit
she
right
actually.
Now. Now that you mention it.
Please refer to page 23 of your contract.
So Caitlin, since you spent it through the whole thing, and you also did the voice for the animated feature, how was that actually being animated? Because that was your voice for the animated feature. That wasn't your voice.
No, that wasn't my voice actually.
Well, then I guess that question is.
Yeah, that question. Is
Yeah, we were pressed for time with the animation, and I only had X amount of studio time to actually record them. So UA Magina and Tara did all the voices for everyone. And it came out pretty good. You can't really tell the difference. They practiced. They tried to mimic everyone, and it came out pretty good. I was very happy with it. And I had one person who did all the animation, this woman, Felicia, who was right out of college. And, you know, I'm like, well, it looked great on your resume.
Where do you shoot this? Is this a Jersey shoot? Or
yeah, northeast New Jersey and around there. Really, wherever we can get away with it without permits.
Like all of us used to do. And also
like,
the girls.
Like the alleyway.
Yeah, like the girls. Girls are from all over.
Yes.
Aren't they? Yeah. So that's a little geographical getting everybody together in one shot, right?
Yes.
So, Rob, you're a local New Jersey boy?
Yes, born in Cedar Grove.
Sarah, what about you? Are you a local New Jersey girl?
No, I'm actually originally from Niagara Falls, New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get all the way down here?
I went to college out here and then stayed. So, yeah, I'm living in Harlem now.
And Caitlin?
Oh, yeah, I'm from Long Island, actually.
Yay,
oh,
well,
Caitlin.
There
you
go, Long Island. Yay.
You think Mark could play like a good villain, like Ming, like from Flash Gordon? Look at him, look.
Absolutely, he's got the whole goatee thing going on.
Nicely done, I think.
Thanks, Herm.
Thanks, Uncle Herm.
So, ladies, when you have the part and you're doing and you're actually working on the film, and you get directions and you take it very seriously because it's an acting gig, but it's something that you wanted to do. At no point in time were you like, hey, maybe we should try this, or would this be a little better, or you're just sitting there and just take direction and that's it?
Well, I've found that Rob's pretty flexible in trusting us with the material. If there's certain specific things he wants us to hit or physical things he wants us to do, he'll let us know that ahead of time. But usually, I mean, we just kind of hit the ground running and just kind of, yeah, do a couple takes with his input and ours. And, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. So it kind of evolves, I'll put it that way. It's not so much do this, this, and this, as it is, I'd like you to hit this stuff in particular, and then, you know, you bring, as an actor, you bring to the table what, you know, what the character is for you.
And Caitlin, did you ever get hurt, you know, doing a stunt or tripping or falling, any kind of that stuff?
Remember, we have no insurance.
So that. I was just going to say.
No, I've never gotten hurt.
The answer is
it's
no.
Been very fun and safe and, yeah, just all in good fun.
The insurance is, get up, let's try it again. All right, just shake that out. Don't worry about it.
Here's a Band-Aid.
You know what I like about this show? It's not a reality show, and it's a fresh show, and it's good for the kids, you know, like Saturday afternoon, because there's too many reality shows flooding the TV screen, you know? And this is something different. It's old, but it's fresh, you know?
Yep. It's bringing back what was good about Saturday, you know, afternoon television, and just the fun in general of superheroes and comic books, which I think we've gotten far away from right now.
What kind of feedback are you getting?
Great. You know, we have our fan base, you know, keeps growing, and everybody loves it who comes in contact with it. And pretty much everyone grasps the concept and the idea and the limitations even of, you know, behind the show right away. So,
do you know where the story's going? Have you got it all?
Oh, yeah, I know how it ends. Okay. I know how it ends. I think you'll all be quite surprised.
It's like George Lucas.
Is it really
everybody,
like
everybody's Lucas? Really brothers and sisters?
Yeah, when I first met Rob at Comic-Con, he gave me the DVD, and he says, yeah, it's kind of campy. I said, campy's good. Remember, I said, campy's good. And it is, and you watch it, and you enjoy it, and it's really a fun thing. You got to get on the website, get the DVDs, and all that good stuff.
So, Rob, when you went to your very first convention on the other side of the table, how was that experience? What was that like?
It was a huge ego boost. It absolutely was. To fill out autographs and, like, be interviewed, you know, it was very exciting. And just to see the passion and behind, you know, of actual fans. I created something, and they love it, and they can't get enough of it. That's, you know, there's no better validation than that.
So, Sarah, Caitlin, let me ask Sarah first. Sarah, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. I think possibly to read people's minds, but I'd like to be able to shut it off. I don't want to know what people are thinking all the time. Yeah. I'm afraid of heights, so that wouldn't be good. And I'm not creative enough to use invisibility, so I'm thinking that, yeah.
Reading minds?
Mind reading.
Caitlin?
I guess something like shape-shifting or hypnosis or something like that would be pretty cool.
Really? And
yeah.
Rob, what is your...
Oh, I'll go right for mind control. That would make directing so much more easy. And if I ever ran across a producer from a network, I would easily use my power for evil and self-gain.
Show is good.
Mark, can you ask me and Charlie now?
Sure.
I want to project my mind on a movie screen, but I'm thinking of. That's cool.
Okay. my power would be to shut down any movie screen that he projects.
That will probably be the smallest movie screen you ever seen.
Well, I've always said one of the powers I would love to have is the ability to actually catch bad guys and then put them away for good.
Where would you put them?
In jail.
That's the police.
Yeah.
And the FBI.
No, to actually catch the bad guys. Not like, you know, they all
like
got away.
Like a net? A net?
They'll be net man throwing the nets over people and dragging them in.
You can call yourself the collector.
There you go. A new character, Rob.
There we go. Let me write that in.
Rob's sitting there. You got the notebook. Oh, shape-shifting. Okay.
Excellent.
Way to go, girls.
Mental projection on TV.
So when it's all said and done, how many different characters are you going to have involved in this?
1,000. By episode 10, it was insane.
It was busy.
Yeah,
it was
the whole city was following it. So.
I'm very blessed that I always have a great cast, and it seems to attract more people who want to work with us, which means more characters. I definitely have one character planned for season 2 that we'll probably do. And then I kind of want to expand that world and show other heroes and villains who aren't, you know, stepsisters and sisters.
Right. Did you end up having to recast most of season 2 for the
like half?
So did you find it was the casting was a little easier since you had a little prestige from the first?
Yes, definitely. We were inundated with applications, and my wife actually helped me like go through them all and sort out who was going to get invited and who wasn't. So thank you, dear.
So when you look at all the applications and you say this person's a great actress or a great person to interview, but do you actually decide who will be for which character at that time, or do you wait until you actually meet the models?
When they come in, I already have an idea who I want them to read for, what parts. But sometimes someone will surprise me, and then we'll end up having them read for a part I didn't really have in mind for them, and they end up getting it. But generally, I have like a pretty good idea what I'm looking for physically for them. And, you know, a lot of season one, I was very blessed with the audition that literally it was as if some of the actresses walked out of my mind and auditioned for us.
Now, you had one character that had a Russian accent. Was that your idea to have that happen?
You know, when you look at an actress's resume of all the talents she can do, and you are on a micro budget, you use whatever you are given. If you can do that, then we're going to work it into the show. You can ride a horse, well, we'll find a horse.
But isn't that how, for actresses, it's not supposed to be whatever question they ask you, you're supposed to be able to say, yes, I can do that. Yes,
oh, yeah.
I can.
Yeah, totally.
So how's yes, I can ride a horse. Well, here's a horse.
Thank you.
So give me your best bitter evil voice there, Sarah.
Beth, it's pretty much the same as my regular voice.
You don't have that grandiose.
Yeah, it's a bit bigger. It's a bit bigger. Like I'm going to come over there and kill you. You know, it's a little more. I think throaty, and I try to work in a little of that snooty Martha Stewart accent-ish kind of thing. You know, that
wow.
I'm looking down on you because my linens aren't called linens. They're not sheath, they're linens. You know, it's like that kind of I'm better than you stature so much as...
Pretty much the way women talk to us on the regular.
So, Caitlin, as playing a hero, is it you find you're having less fun because, you know, you don't get to do stuff like that? Or is it, or do you find your own way to make it your own role?
Oh, no, it's tons of fun. I just try to do the best I can do in, exemplifying what Rob's trying to portray.
Now, you actually are the one that has power, so when you actually have powers on the video, that's obviously added later in a CGI or right, CGI?
It's practical effects and then CGI over it. Works best for her powers.
So how is that just standing going like this? You know, I'm waving my hands at the camera, just, you know, do you have to, like, scrunch your face? Scrunch it harder! Like, what do you do?
I feel a little bit like Crazy Cat Lady for a little bit, but it's really mostly just fun, because... It's like being a 5-year-old again, where you can be like, oh, I'm going to kill you, but I'm not doing anything at all. But yeah, it's fun. You just get to play around with pretending.
And you also had the ice chain.
Yeah, those are fun.
How did that? What was the instruction for that? Did he say, all right, you got to hold it back here and just toss it
out?
Yeah,
kind of. It's just like hold it as, you know, hidden as you can and just kind of thrust and pretend that it's like shooting out of your hands. And that's what I did.
How many takes was that to get that just right?
That was a lot, because we eventually ended up having someone behind her holding the end of it. So when she throws it, her front of it, they throw the back part. So it came out on like a straight arc. That is like my favorite special effect in the whole series so far.
What about the silly string? I like the silly string.
Yeah.
That's how many cans did you go through on that?
Several. That's lots of trips to Target and dollar stores. That's where a lot of our props come from.
That's what the commentary said. I listened to the commentary. That was
Rob, what was the whole experience? If you had like one of the funniest bloopers on the show that you guys been through, what did you have
on his radio show?
Boy, that's tough. I wish that I had had the foresight and the resources to record us filming it behind the scenes, because there were some very amusing ones. An actress walks out with her costume on backwards. That's happened. You know,
they're confusing costumes.
They are. And then, we try to be safe, so we use like air mattresses and stuff. But unfortunately, sometimes we forget to put air in the air mattress, and they fall on it, and it's right on the street, which isn't really funny. But because they don't
that's
get hurt,
hysterical.
Because they don't get hurt,
no,
it is
no insurance.
Funny.
It's funny on camera, because if it wasn't,
yes,
there would be problems.
You know.
Or now, ladies, remember this. All you got to say is, Rob, airing the mattresses tonight?
He's a stunt girl.
You know, and the dialogue sometimes is very, very cheesy. And to hear somebody deliver some of the lines that I write, I'm surprised they're still with me, to be quite honest.
That's good. Yeah.
Did you ever get one of those lines and then you guys couldn't go on because it was just so hysterical?
Yes. In episode 10, the line about... I always have my powers on as if I'm on Jupiter. It's just. It took a few takes.
Did I write it? Did I write
that? Who writes this stuff?
Oh, wait, I do.
Do it again.
It's like, what was I thinking? It sounded good in my head.
So, what do you? What advice can you give out there for all the other filmmakers who want to make something of their own? What advice can you give them?
Do it, number one. And either if you feel you are the person who needs to go to school for it, then go to school for it. But if you want to learn just by doing it, the tools are definitely out there for everyone to pick up a camera, some editing software, and start shooting. You know, don't delay. Start shooting today.
Actually,
Ron. Yeah.
I thought of that on my way here. I was
getting going. You're going back and forth online. Yeah. Yeah.
Should be the official 2121 Productions bumper sticker.
So, speaking of 2121 Productions, what else do you have on the pike? Is this the only thing you have going on? What else do you have going on in your little mind of yours planning out there?
I have a horror film, feature film. You know, I'm on the 8th draft of it. We've had people come over and done a reading for it. I did a little teaser trailer I put together. I haven't put it out yet. And we're going to try to get distribution and funding and go like a more traditional route with it.
What's it called?
Slaughterhouse.
Well, you know,
very original, huh?
Rob, let me tell you something. It could work because what they're showing on a sci-fi channel, pathetic. So maybe...
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus was a great movie.
No, and the Chiller Channel. Try to get it on the Chiller Channel.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that would be great.
The plane scene alone, I keep saying that.
I like that title.
Slaughterhouse. Is there a lot of slaughtering in Is There a House?
There is a slaughterhouse. I'll tell you an amusing story. We actually went to get permission at a slaughterhouse. I won't say where it is. And it was abandoned. And, you know, the park commission was all for it. They were all for it. And then the next day, it burned down.
Terrible.
I lost
it. Was there for like 30 years.
It was there forever. There, like, right? You know, weird New Jersey kind of place. Wow. There forever. And then eventually it burned down literally.
See,
the next
Robbie,
day.
You don't, you don't should, do that anymore. You should,
right?
It's a secret.
Yeah. You should have filmed it for the
no
ending
permits.
Scene.
Yeah. Yep. And I'll even go so far as say I got a call from a detective asking me.
If you burned it down?
Essentially, because I had assumed it was arson from teens because it was a place where, you know, they would hang out and everything. And he's like, well, how did you know? Nobody said that. I'm like, well, you know, 2 and 2 is 4. You know, abandoned cool places do attract teenage delinquency
Maybe
at times.
Maybe it was a ghost cow.
Yeah. What do you say?
A ghost cow. A cow as a ghost came back to destroy the slaughterhouse.
Next on Sci-Fi
Channel. Yeah.
Just don't put
Slaughter Cow.
Rob, just don't put 5 at the Slaughterhouse because there was a movie called Slaughterhouse 5.
Oh,
it's yeah. Also a book.
Never mind. Kurt Vonnegut. Yeah.
Good safety tip, Herman. Thank you for that.
Don't put 5 at the end of anything.
Although if we actually get especially to the fourth the movie, one. We'll probably do it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Just go straight to 6.
You know. Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 6. No 5. It's forbidden. It's like you can't have a...
Or maybe I'll do like a 5 four. And a fraction. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have enough fractions in a sequel.
There's not enough fractions in a sequel.
Yes.
We could go decimal. Slaughterhouse 5.3.
There you go. I like that.
What did you think of Saw?
The first one.
The whole franchise.
I think it's great. I would love to mimic that sort of success with any of my ideas.
Yeah. We should ask him if he actually saw first.
Did you see Saw or did you play in a park?
No, I saw the first one and the second one and maybe another one I don't remember. But, I mean, the creator of it has passed away and everything and it's living on, of course. But, you know. Something like that happens with any of my things, I wouldn't mind.
So, Caitlin, as an actress, what is your goal? Where do you see yourself in the future?
I'm not really sure right now. Right now I'm in school, so I'm focusing on that. But, you know, hopefully in a year or so when I graduate, I'm going to either go back to the city or L.A. And, you know, start pursuing it for real again. Just trying to get bit roles and... whatever else comes along. I also sing, so hopefully I'll go back to doing that as well.
And Sarah, what about you?
Well, being in the city and all, it's been mostly theater. I do a lot of children's theater around New York City. And as far as film goes, I like doing like the sci-fi and horror genres, so that's what I veer towards specifically when I'm applying to casting notices. And more, I've been getting I've been fortunate enough to be working on that in that genre and headed that direction more and more. So I'm hoping to continue that way.
So you're gonna be a scream queen?
I'd like to be. Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna put you on the spot, Sarah. Give me your best scream. Oh, wow.
That was good, Sarah. Really good.
Thank
a couple
you.
People crashed at cause just now.
I try to step away from the
That was excellent, though. You're in.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What did you say? What? Yeah. What?
You're in. That's it.
I have a horror movie you might be interested in doing.
And Caitlin, can you give us a few belts out of a song
on
top of your head?
This, Caitlin.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, sure, I guess so. Take me, I'm alive. Never was a girl with a wicked mind, but everything looks better when the sun goes down.
Woo! Wow.
Nice.
Nicely done, nicely done.
Thank you.
So, Rob, are you going to scream and sing for us, too?
Yeah. Absolutely not, but we might have a Vixens musical episode.
Rob, now I want you to scream and sing, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
If I sing, you will all scream.
I like that.
So, have you thought about having a male character in the future episodes? Or?
Yeah, besides the guy on the beach.
the guy on the beach.
Yeah, who was that guy on the beach?
We met him through Model Mayhem, and he was actually going to play a love interest in the series, where he was a superhero called Paragon, very Superman-esque, who would date Bitter Evil as Paragon, but when he was his Clark Kent identity, he would date Sweet Burden, Beatrice Sweet, as her secret identity, Beatrice Sweet, and there'd be a little, you know,
what happened
mayhem.
But that didn't work out.
Didn't really work out, and you know,
he was too glittery.
I'm not that interested in filming six packs.
What's his name? Ruination? What a situation. Ruination.
Now on that beach,
but are there going to be other males in the story?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have to
unfortunately.
Be. Have.
You're not going to put yourself in there?
He was a ninja.
Yeah, but you got to be, you know.
Nah, I know what side of the camera I belong on. Even my performance as the ninja was shouldn't have been allowed.
You should give Herman a part and we call him the Insaninator.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Because you're
Terminator.
Crazy. No, that was you.
Maybe not.
He's a musician, right? Musicians are crazy, right?
Yeah.
Are they really crazy musicians?
They're a little wacky, yeah.
They're all insane.
Actually, we have three musicians here, so Hassan, you're
crazy. No, we're not crazy.
Hassan's
not
crazy.
I don't feel
crazy.
I think as far as the crazy scale goes, it goes musicians, actors, and film people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna add theater people above.
Yeah,
above.
Yeah, theater people.
Right on top.
Way on top.
I love theater people, but...
Crazy.
Yeah, because in your theater, you're never off camera. No. That's the problem. So they're on the bus acting out. I've been in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Lots of sing-alongs.
So we have about six minutes left. So I
got
7 minutes
over
there.
I got about that.
I want each one of you guys to promote anything you want. This is your time to promote any places, any websites, anybody you wanted to mention. Now's your chance. We'll go from left to right, so Caitlin, you can go first.
I'm just gonna go ahead and promote Vixens. And also right now I'm starting to probably get a band together, but we're just developing, so look out for, you know, Caitlin Ross-Poteet is my name, so look out for a band that I'm in, and you know, Vixens, two thumbs up.
Rob?
Vixens of Virtue, VixensOfVice.com, and please find us and friend us on Facebook. And we will be having a comic book. I'll announce it now for 2011. Yeah. We're going to do a double-sized, you know, standalone issue, about 44 pages. And we actually just got an author, an artist today that I signed.
Is it going to have photo covers and art covers as
well? It's going to be all art. Nice. All original art, yep.
And what about you, Sarah? What do you have going on?
Well, of course, Vixens of Virtue, VixensofVice.com. I also have a shop. I sell stuff. I crochet body parts, specifically human organs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You just got to that now? Oh. Wait a minute.
Saving that for last,
yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead. Ending with that. I crochet human body parts. My seller name is An Optimistic Cynic. I'm on Etsy. Look for me there. Or just Facebook me, Sarah Louisa Burns. I'm always doing something. I'm doing various films. I just did a film with Glam Smash Productions. That's why I can scream so well, because I got lots of practice a couple weekends ago. Vixen's Virtue, VixensVice.com. Woo!
Well, what body part sells the best?
The heart. The heart sells the best. The lungs are second biggest seller. And the pancreases are just starting to pick up. Who knew, really?
Wow.
I just got a request for kidney.
I have my idea for my next horror movie. Thank you.
Nothing like a good crocheted pancreas. We do
a surgeon shows. Like, give me that crochet pancreas.
It's amazing. That'll work. I'm sending them all over the world. It's amazing how quickly it's caught on.
Okay, Rob.
Amazing's one word for it. Scary. A little scary is the other word.
Right here, Rob. You have this crocheting Frankenstein motif going on. I'm thinking there's your next movie.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding when I said that.
Crochetstein.
I really get into character that way.
So what is it? You're like, all right, I need 5 hearts for Japan and 3 pancreases for Canada. How does that happen?
What do they do with them?
I have no idea.
Do we want to know what they do with them?
I just make
good.
I
good. Good. She's,
why would you
know.
Ask?
Because I want to.
That's
okay.
Not a question you want to answer.
Come on, it's funny.
It's not a question you want an answer to. I'm sorry.
So, are you guys going to be making any appearances on for the Vixens anytime soon? Any conventions? Any place you're going to be at?
We want to hit the conventions more this coming up in 2011, because we'll have season 2 done. We'll have the comic book. We're also going to have a role-playing game, too, to sell. So we're going to have a little more expanded merchandise. So I want to do more than just 1 or 2 cons. I want to do some more smaller local ones and some bigger ones.
And you also had action figures, right?
Yes. Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little about that?
The action figures are prototype ones that are done by a friend of ours who actually does solely commission work for anybody who wants a custom-made figure. And we just have to turn them into molds now, and then my living room will become a action figure factory.
Yeah.
Or we might go the vinyl route, but we're not sure yet.
So what did you think of when you saw your figure? Caitlin.
It was really cool. I never really imagined anything like that ever coming into fruition, so it was really neat.
Did you have to wear the green suit with the little balls on it so they can scan into your body?
Oh, no. It was just made from scratch.
So what did you use the models as a model, or did you just say, I need a woman, this is what outfit they're wearing?
He usually gets the video and the pictures of the actresses and their costumes and everything, and then he goes out and looks literally body part shops. You might have.
Did you make some of those?
So, it might be the torso of a wrestling female figure and Nightcrawler's hands or whatever, whatever the mix is.
It's like, I can just see it like Bitter Evil with a live crochet pancreas.
And Kung Fu Grip.
Kung Fu Grip.
And then he adds some clay and sculpts them and then paints them.
And lots of clay.
Lots of clay on some of them.
So, Sarah, do you have a character? Did you have a model for the toy also, or not yet? Or is it just for your predecessor?
Oh, right now it's modeled after the predecessor. But really, if you put a brunette in a pink jacket, it's going to play off. So there, it's adaptable like that.
You'll get an action figure, I promise.
Oh, there you go. So we got 2 minutes left, so we're going to have final thoughts. We'll just go around the table. Sarah, final thought?
Look for us in season 2, starting January, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for having us. I hope we get to come here again. I really appreciate all the support and everything, and I'm glad we ran into you guys out at the convention.
Caitlin, final thought?
Thank you for having us, and Vixens, check us out.
Herman, you had a final thought there?
I wish you the best of luck on this show and your careers, and,
hope to have you back
more.
Don't
what am I,
your
a puppet? Am I sitting on your lap? I don't feel you.
Charlie, you want
to? Best of luck to you guys.
Just go to the website. It's a great show, and really, it's a lot of fun, and do that.
Hassan Fondal?
Yeah, I'm still planning on making sure that Herman's mind never gets projected on the screen. And good luck for season two. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it's a good little show. It is Vixens of Virtue, vixensofvice.com. We appreciate you for coming down. We really do. And best of luck in the future. And we hope to have you back very soon. So that about does it for this week on the show. You can catch, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch us on our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. You can see our archives. We'll be up in about a week. Any of the news items we have here on the show will be posted on the Facebook page. Make sure you friend us. And I guess that's about it. We will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.